Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Spiegs, he has a scientific baseball exploration.
Yes, I do.
That will bore us.
Oh, yes.
Or we're going to throw the funny baseball on
him. Oh, man.
Eno Saris.
No. Tell him no.
All right, no.
Wants to develop an on-field machine to test pitchers' hands for sticky stuff. Eno found that they have something called the ASTM D6195 Adhesive Loop Tack Test Machine.
Cyberdyne Systems Model 101. I'm a cybernetic organism, living tissue over a metal endoskeleton.
That topic really would fit in very well from 10 to 2 when Lawrence and Layla aren't there and Dan just has to go.
You know how win expectancy matrices work?
I don't even know if Sean Sears would have approved that on Hit and Run.
I think Eno has seen the future.
Way funny audio.
Okay.
Kid from Palatine.
Well, JD, I think you nicknamed him the Palatine Pounder.
Yeah, why not?
The Palatine
Pounder.
Palatine Pounder?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, boy. Wait a minute. What gets
Palatine Pounder? Gets himself a two-base hit. It's his first knock here at Wrigley Field.
So how long did it take you to think of that, Palatine Pounder?
Are our listeners in Palatine okay with Mike Talkman being the official pounder of Palatine? Or is this
Talkman, the Sockman?
Well, JD, I think you nicknamed him the Palatine Pounder.
Yeah, why not? Yes.
Why not? I mean, if you're in Palatine, are you okay with him being your official pounder?
Because he will pound you.
Palatine Pounder?
That's good to have fun with names.
One, two, three. Here we go, Tim.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
And that might conclude the laughs around Cubs baseball discussion. Welcome in. Thanks for hanging out with the Parkins and Spiegel Show as we send you in to the holiday weekend. Tanny is off until Wednesday. Spiegs hosted Mully and Haw today with Gabe Ramirez, so it's Shane, Tyler, and myself until 6 o'clock. And we will do a Memorial Day weekend edition of Shane's Meat coming up in about, 35 minutes, around 5:20 or so. So if you're going to be grilling this weekend, smoking some meat, whatever the case may be, and you got some questions, you can start texting them in, and we will take calls as well around 5:20 or so today. But that might have been the worst game of the season for the Cubs. They've had tougher losses. You know, they've had more grueling defeats, comeback victories by the other team. They get down early, then they come back and tie, then they lose late. Like, they've had more heartbreaking losses than that. But that, I think, is the worst game they've played this year in 50 games. And it's not exactly out on the biggest of limbs here. I guess it would be the smallest of limbs. It's a pretty sturdy limb I'm out on. It was the first time they've been shut out all year, so that immediately enters it into the category. But, like, what went well? Christopher Morel broke up the no-hitter and had the great throw to get the runner at the plate in the sixth.
The weather.
See?
The weather was the third star of the game today.
The vibes were the weather. And the weather was immaculate. That's true. I spent my morning on the golf course. It was fantastic. It was a fantastic day. I got back in like the second inning of that Cubs game. And
don't release your score yet. Wait, TSL.
TSL to release the score?
Yeah. Yeah, don't say it yet.
Good score today. It's a good score today.
Okay, you ruined it.
No. Oh, well, okay. Well, people don't know how good or bad I am at golf. For many people, it would not be that impressive. For me, I'm feeling very good heading into this weekend. But they're 22-28 through 50 games. And we can talk big picture here in a second. But I don't think anything good happened in that game. Like, Javier Assad was eating a bunch of innings and saving the bullpen for tomorrow and the rest of the weekend, and you got the Rays coming to Wrigley. So I was like, all right, well, he's doing his job. And then he got hurt. And Alzolay had to come in. He only had to throw one pitch, but he wasn't even able to get through just like wearing that one for the team and saving the rest of the high leverage guys. Alzolay needed to warm up and come in. And then Assad got hurt. So the bullpen disaster for this season continues. The brightest spot of the season, Justin Steele, had his worst game of the year. I don't believe that there's any correlation or certainly causation to me betting on him three starts ago to win the National League Cy Young at 27-1.
Yeah, no way, not at all.
Yeah, exactly, right. But let's just say that bet feels over. I got like 10 innings of enjoyment across those starts.
All right, but here's the thing. Now put, like, solidify your trust, put more money down because the odds are going up. The odds are longer now.
They definitely are longer.
So, Tyler, when we say odds are longer, it means that they're worse.
That's right.
That means bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a Mitch Trubisky MVP bet. That was real bad. But this isn't looking great. Steele's an interesting dude too. David Ross was like, yeah, the slider wasn't really sliding. And then he's like, hey, how was your stuff today? Was it off? He's like, nah, stuff was great. They were just hitting it. Doesn't really ever admit to, like, he's like, just give credit to the other team, not really saying anything that he did wrong. But
all right, but yeah, do you blame him for doing that? Like, I would not want to tip the opposition off to, like, if the next opponent, whoever it may be, if the Cardinals were to hear him say that and then look at today's game tape and say, yeah, all right, well, he doesn't feel good when the slider is doing this or when the fastball is doing this. I don't blame him for doing that. Just play stupid.
It's not even blame. He's just an interesting dude in the postgame. He's so intense on the mound, and then he's so, like, minimalistic in his answers. And he gave them nothing after the game. It was just, Great job by them. But his manager had no problem saying that the slider just wasn't biting.
So there's a secret sauce there.
So if it is some sort of huge, you know, advantage to the Rays to know that, like, when the slider doesn't slide, it's just a slow fastball and then it's easy to hit. But it was a pretty brutal game. I did think that there would have been an interesting situation, though, if you were at the game enjoying the weather and, you know, the Reds are just mowing them down. Green, the starter, his stuff was absolutely ridiculous. He leaves, though, after six no-hit innings. And Marquis had the stat on the broadcast. That would have been the first combined no-hitter in Wrigley Field history. There has never been a combined no-hitter at Wrigley. Today was the 8,424th game at Wrigley Field. That blew my mind.
Has there been anything that hasn't happened in that amount of time?
That's what I'm saying. 8,424 baseball games at Wrigley, and they've never experienced a combined no-hitter.
What year is that? What's the origin year of Wrigley?
You
should just know that as a Cub fan.
I probably should.
Hold on. I'm Googling it. Hold on.
Yeah, I'll just
Wrigley
stall.
Wrigley Fields. Oh, it's like Speaks is here. Wrigley Fields. Year origin. 1914.
Okay. Oh, yeah, 1914 club. Duh. God, am I an idiot.
So things that haven't happened since 1914.
Oh, right. Everything's happened since 1914.
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're right. Do you think it's the only thing that hasn't happened?
I think so.
you think it's the only thing in society?
It's combined no-hitters and me in a committed relationship.
Right. That's how rare it potentially was. Dinosaurs, Shane in a committed relationship, combined no-hitter at Wrigley Field. Things that have never happened. But I always said that if I was at a game... were certainly a perfect game because they're incredibly rare, but also a no-hitter was happening. Even if it was happening against my team, I would root for the no-hitter. I'd root for the no-hitter against my team.
No, dude.
Now.
No!
Yes.
No!
I would. Now, especially today, it was 7-0 when that thing got broken up. Like, if it's 1-0, 2-0, and the no-hitter's going on, still root for your team. But I'd love to say that I was at a no-hitter. But I feel like a combined no-hitter takes a lot of the specialness out of the no-hitter. Now, I know that ultimately Morel broke it up, so it didn't end up mattering today. But if I was at that game in the seventh inning, I think I would have been rooting for the no-hitter to continue against the Cubs.
I've never said this, but I wish Tanny and Speaks were here. You're saying that you wish you could see your team get no-hit? Like, if there's a threat for a no-hitter in the, let's say, seventh or eighth, you'd rather root for a no-hitter. You'd rather root for the team that you care about the most to get no-hit than for them to break it up?
Yes.
That's ridiculous. And that's why Spiegs is the baseball guy and you're the golf guy.
Open up the phones. I guarantee
they're
you.
They're open.
312-644-6767. I guarantee people are with me on this.
There won't be a single person that I put through, and in general, that say they would rather see their team get no hit than see their team break up a no hitter, even if it's in a loss. Not a single person.
I disagree. It's one of 162, and especially in the situation today. Again, if you want to say it's 1-0, 2-0, like you know, just a bloop and a blast, you could get back in the game and win. Fine, then I'm with you. 7-0 in the eighth inning. You're not winning. You're not winning the baseball game. If your team is down 7-0 and the other team has a no-hitter going against you, I believe for that day, for that moment, for those 6 outs, you become a fan of the other team. Because you want to say that you saw a no-hitter. You get way more mileage out of that than just a random day at the baseball game. I think that makes all the sense in the world. Again, combined no-hitter is kind of weak, but if you knew it never had happened at Wrigley, if you could say, I've seen something at Wrigley that no one else other than those other 38,000 people in attendance today have seen, you wouldn't think that was cool? I would. I think that's amazing. I don't even think it's that controversial, frankly. I don't think it makes you a worse fan at all. You root for history. I was rooting for Klay Thompson to set the single-game 3-point record when I was there against the Bulls. You want to see history. Why not? Why wouldn't you? Like a regular season game? I think there's nothing wrong with that.
All right, Danny, let's go to Dean in Wrigleyville.
All right, what up, Dean?
Hey, first off, go Q's. I was class of 03. Second... Nice. Now, maybe a perfect game, right? Like, because that's history. But a no-hitter, there's 7, 8, 10 no-hitters a year. That's not history. Also, I was at the Cole Hamels when he was before he was a Cub, as a Philly, at the game. It sucked walking out of there. Hearing it from the opposing fans, because Wrigley gets a lot of those, it sucked. Maybe a perfect game, no way on a no-hitter. It sucks.
All right, Dean, I appreciate the call, man. I disagree. There's only been 318 no-hitters in MLB history. That is less than 1% of the games. You could see something that would be completely random and historic. The vast majority of people in this audience, the vast majority, have never seen a no-hitter. Dean has seen one. The vast, vast, vast majority of you have never seen a no-hitter live. There have only been 23 perfect games. So, yeah, perfect game is no question. Shane, you're at a White Sox game.
Yeah.
It's 5-0.
Yeah.
The other team, Framber Valdez, is throwing a perfect game against the White Sox.
Blech.
You're not rooting for the Astros?
No.
Dude, you're
it does not
crazy.
Matter. It could be the Reds. It could be the Mariners. It could be anyone that I don't have a rooting interest against. I never want to see my team be embarrassed. Take one more, Bob, before we break.
All right, what up, Bob? You're on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Hey, Danny.
Hello.
Hey, Danny. I just told Shane I thought he wouldn't put me through because I agree with you. But
yeah,
I do agree
Bob.
With you.
Me and Bob.
And I don't want to see the Cubs get shellacked, but yeah, I would have liked to have been there to see the no-hitter. But the other thing I'd like to say is we got to give props to the seventh-inning singers today because everybody else yells, let's get some runs. These guys were at least in tune enough to the game to today yell out, let's get some hits. So,
oh, that's a great job.
Engaged.
That's a great job by them. Good job, Bob. Thank you for the call. When has it ever gone wrong for a score host to be aligned with the Bobs? I don't think ever. Be like, oh, you're a bad fan. Hang up on yourself. There have been like 300-something no-hitters ever. I just gave you the number. I've already forgotten it. Again, it was a long morning on the course. But you want to see history in that spot over your team getting one regular season win. We can talk about this on the other side. And speaking of bad thoughts, Scottie Pippen. Woof. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Every Friday, it's Pizza Friday.
All right, I'm all in on Pizza Friday.
Pizza Friday, it's kind of the end of the week. Weekend's getting ready to start.
Afternoons on the score.
Thanks for hanging out. We'll do some Shane's Meat heading into Memorial Day weekend in about 20 minutes or so. So get your grilling and smoking meat questions ready. Shane, the text line is very split. On this.
As was the phone line. This topic lit up the phone line.
See?
Speaks would have loved all these losers.
Come on. Be nice. Now someone said, what if it was a playoff game? And if you're just joining us, I said, if I was at the Cubs game today and the Cubs were down 7-0 in the seventh inning getting no hit, I would be rooting for the no hitter because I've never seen a no hitter in person. And there have only been 300-something no-hitters in MLB history.
I know you tease Scotty, but I'm going to screen a couple more Cubs callers.
I'll get to the Scotty in a couple of minutes, but I just wanted to reset this and address a few things that people have brought up here. Combined no-hitter makes it less cool. Perfect game, to me, makes it obvious. If it's 1-0, 2-0, and a bloop and a blast gets you right back in the game, then I'm rooting against the no-hitter, and I'm rooting for my team. But less than well under 1% of games in baseball history. There's never been a combined no-hitter at Wrigley in over 8,400 games. You could say you were at something that's never happened before if that would have happened today. And it's not like because they got one hit, finished with two hits, that they would have actually like had a shot at winning. Oh, you were at a two-hitter. That means nothing. You were at a no-hitter. That's kind of cool. That's a decent story over a beer. I would absolutely take the decent story over a beer over that Christopher Morel single today.
Let's go to Stan in Wheaton. He is very animated.
Yeah, he's an angry guy. What up, Stan?
Dan, I never thought I'd agree with you, but I would agree with you.
Okay, here we go, Stan. Couldn't stay wrong forever.
I think that if the kids... Four and no hitter. You're up 7-0. Your team's in the toilet. Why do you pull them? I don't get it. I don't know. 23 years old? Imagine being 23 years old, pitching a no hitter. And I get it. You had your Tommy Johns and your record ain't that great. But maybe you're doing good. Maybe you're feeling good. And I was just so disappointed. It's like, my God, really?
The kid's young, but he was at like 110 pitches through six, Stan. I appreciate the call. The issue with what you're saying is, it's like, how many pitches is he going to go if you're going to try to get him through nine more outs? You want him to throw 140 pitches, 150 pitches? Like, they're not going to do that with one of their prized pitching arms for the organization. So that's just they're going to a team should always prioritize health over that. Now, if he was through eight, you know, you're going to push him past his pitch limit to try to go for history, no question. But nine more outs and 110 pitches, that's a no-brainer that you're pulling him out of the game.
All right, another one. Jerry in Libertyville, he's got an interesting point.
All right, what up, Jerry?
All right, Danny, so you're half right. I texted my son, who's 16 years old, at the game, and I'm like, you got to stay to witness it. You don't need to cheer for it, just witness it. I'm almost 50, and I've never seen one. So I'm half with you, Danny.
What half are you not? Oh, so you're saying stay at the game. It's cool to see history, but you don't actively cheer for it.
Exactly. You nailed it right there.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I'm not saying that I would be like up clapping, and thank you for the call. I wouldn't be up clapping every time the Cubs make an out, like wearing a Cubs hat. I'm just saying I would silently be rooting for it. And then at the end of the game,
that's slimy.
I'd be texting my boys like, yo, I was at the no-hitter. Someone said, what if it was a playoff game?
Doesn't matter.
No, if it was a playoff game and your team was down 7-0 in the seventh, I think I'd still be rooting for the no-hitter.
All right, let's go this way.
How many no-hitters have there been in playoff history?
Roy Halladay.
Like, you would be able to say you've seen one of the greatest things ever. Right? The Don Larsen perfect game. You know, so I think that that's like I think you have to be selfish in that spot and root for history. Now, if it's game seven and the season ends, if it happens against you, then maybe not. But I think at some point you've got to be selfish and root for history. I think that's a very tough spot as a fan.
So it's Roy Halladay and Don Larsen, and then there's the combine that the Astros threw.
Okay.
It's three times. But Danny, so let's talk about history. Let's say you were around for the Revolutionary War. if you were there, you're like, man, I've got an opportunity to see us lose this. But also, I'd rather we not. So I'm going to cheer for us to not lose the Revolutionary War as opposed to losing it.
I think the stakes are exactly the same.
Pretty much.
Yeah, 1 out of 162 and the Revolutionary War.
Let's say you were there for the Boston Tea Harbor thing, and like the French are coming.
the Boston Tea Harbor? Bryce Harper was there. You're the king of analogies on this show, but part of this is that it is one of 162 baseball games. And no hitters are dope. Perfect games are awesome. I think you got to root for it, man.
No. Okay. I never want to see my team get dominated. Never.
But they're already getting... Were the Cubs less dominated today because they got two hits?
Yes. Two hits is less dominated than zero hits.
But it's still a 9-0 loss.
Doesn't matter.
No one's leaving Wrigley being like, ha, thank goodness the Cubs got two hit today.
Does not matter.
It does. Okay.
No. And I definitely understand people who want to see it, but like as a diehard White Sox fan, or if I'm putting myself in the shoes of a diehard Cub fan, there's no chance in the world I want to see my team completely emasculated as opposed to breaking it a little bit.
I'll take it a step further, Shane. If it was Cubs Sox, I'd root for the Sox.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It would be awesome to see.
Bernstein, Layla, Ray, and Studs were there. Do you want me to call Dan and see what he would think?
No.
Okay.
Not particularly.
Okay. He'd agree with me?
I'm sure he would. He'd be like, I don't care. I was unaware that there was a no-hitter going. I was measuring the spin rate from an app on my phone.
I don't get it, man. Like, I don't know why you'd want to prolong misery. Like, if you have the chance to not feel bad, even though the bad is just not as bad as what it could be.
No, what I'm saying is it would transfer to a good feeling.
No, it can't.
Because it would be a no-hitter.
No. So in my opinion, that means that you're not a diehard Cub fan. You're not even really a Cub fan.
Oh, wow. Now I'm not even really a Cub. You went from not a diehard fan to now I'm not even a Cub fan at all.
If you would prefer to see them get no hit if they're in a position or be perfected.
I'd prefer to see them win, but if they are getting no hit.
No.
Or they are getting a perfect game thrown against them. Every baseball game I've ever attended. I mean, I guess I can't say ever. Not when I was 10, 12 years old or whatever. But like when the no-hitter is broken up, I'm a little disappointed.
All right, so here's the thing.
Even if it's the first inning.
Let's say you've already taken Owen to a game. You haven't taken Eli to a game yet.
Let's say
you're taking Eli and Owen to a game when they're both completely coherent of what's going on.
Yeah.
The first thing you're going to say to them is, hey, guys, guess what? You guys love the Cubs right now. Guess what? I sat here or I watched on TV. I watched them get dominated. And I watched them get no hit. I watched them get perfected. Against another team, they lost.
I would say,
but I was here for history.
I would say I've been going to Cubs games since I was 6 or 7 years old. And I have never seen this before. And it's an honor to share history with you.
That's bad.
That's bad!
It's bad. It's bad when it's your team who's the one getting embarrassed. It's bad.
Those are not real fans.
Right, Les. They're not real fans.
Oh, I know Les would disagree.
They're not real fans. Every day I wake up wishing Les was here. No more than today.
Yeah, this might be number one. This might be number one. All right, well, I teased it, so let's get to it. This is Scottie Pippen on the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast. And he is on an active campaign to turn as many people against him as possible. It's a bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see if it works out for him. Tyler, we can begin with his latest thoughts on Michael Jordan.
LeBron will be the greatest statistical guy to ever play the game of basketball. And there's no comparison to him. None. So, does that make him the greatest player to ever play the game? I'll leave that out for debating because I don't believe that there's a great player because our game is a team game and one player can't do it. Like, I seen Michael Jordan play before I came to play with the Bulls. You guys seen him play. He's a horrible player. He was horrible to play with. He was all one-on-one. He's shooting bad shots. And all of a sudden, we become a team and we start winning. Everybody forgot who he was.
The ridiculousness of it, it's so silly and pointless. I don't get what he's doing and why he thinks this is a good idea at all. As a rookie, Michael Jordan averaged 28 a game. 28 a game. Like, I don't need to defend this statistically, but just in case anyone's like, oh, does Scottie have a point? He does not have a point.
What a clown.
You couldn't believe it? You're almost forgetting the insane marketing tactics that he went about before his Kettle Corn was released and his really, really bad whiskey was released.
Well, no. It's not surprise. To what end? How does this help him? How does this sell a bag of Kettle Corn or a bottle of whiskey or a book or whatever? He's just on the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast, which you can find right here on the Odyssey app. Like, how does this help him? How does this help his, likability, gain more fans, more of a following, sell anything? It's just, it's weird that he feels the need to tear down Michael Jordan and his time with the Bulls when at his own Hall of Fame induction, he fell all over himself praising Michael Jordan, which of course he should. They're the greatest duo in NBA history. Like, it's just, it's so silly to me to do this. It's like an unforced error. There's no benefit to it. There's only harm.
How much of it do you think involves his ex-wife, Larsa, dating Michael's son?
I think that there's probably a decent amount of that.
Probably a lot, right?
Yeah. Well, and listen, I think that Scotty is very clearly bitter. I think that Scotty, you know, I don't know what his financial situation is.
Probably not good.
But he's obviously had some bad investments. He took the terrible contract with the Bulls. He sees Michael Jordan be, you know, the billionaire a couple times over with the $400 million annual from the shoe sales that he brings in. Like, he hated how he was portrayed at times in The Last Dance. It's what's funny about the whole thing, though, is if Scotty was at the United Center on opening day and he was shown on the video board, he'd still get a huge ovation. Like, he has done so many things, talking about Phil, talking about Jordan, putting LeBron over Jordan, crapping on The Last Dance, sitting out for 1.8, talking about the contract. He's done a bunch of things. But he was the second best player on the greatest team this town has ever seen. And he has six rings. So it's like he wants to be disliked. But I don't believe that that could ever be possible by the majority of Bulls fans or the majority of Chicago, no matter how hard he tries.
Yeah, the majority of people who are there for that run aren't on social media. And these headlines are populated on social media. Right? So that's where they get the majority of the attention. So yeah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's building it up for those people who see it on social, who Google Scottie Pippen's name for the different stories, but then see, oh, Scottie's got a whiskey. Scotty's got kettle corn. Scotty's got a book. Scotty was on this podcast.
Right.
Like, they'll just go consume all the content for more drama and then see, oh, I wonder if Scotty's whiskey is good, which it's not, by the way. I wonder if Scotty's kettle corn is good, which it's not, by the way. Good luck getting diabetes from that kettle corn. It's all sugar. That's what he's doing. It's been his MO since he fell out of the limelight, since he wasn't the main focus of The Last Dance. That's been his MO.
Diabetes.
He's been unbelievably bitter since The Last Dance.
Tyler's killing it on the drops, by the way. He nailed
he's
that
doing
one.
A nice job. He's doing a very nice job. He's doing a very, very nice job. Do we have more from Scotty on the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast? Tyler, what else we got? We got him on a film.
Yeah, he was kind of talking some smack to Phil Jackson as well.
All right, let me hear.
You know, he just really turned sour to me his last couple years of coaching. Not that that took anything away from me as a player or how I played the game or anything, but it was more, he became selfish. And when you're around selfish people, then things just, it really was the breakup of our team, to be honest. You know, one selfish guy on the team, another selfish guy coaching the team. It was time for a divorce.
Like, there are plenty of things that Phil has said that you can turn on him or say, I disagree with Phil or find him to be unlikable or out of touch. But Phil Jackson was the selfish coach and Michael Jordan was the selfish player. They won six titles. I don't get it. I understand your argument. Get your name in the headlines, stay relevant, try to sell some stuff. I understand like the cynical nature of it. But man, just tell some sweet stories. Like, you don't think Scottie Pippen could tell some great stories of that time? It doesn't have to all be positive, but like the name calling and the reductive nature of it is just so unbecoming.
He's bitter.
I know.
He's bitter that he's not the one being paid attention to, even though 100% of people understand why he's not.
Correct. But it's, I mean, he's a top 10 athlete in the history of this city. It's, you know, I get that it didn't work out exactly how he wanted it to. But his legacy is pretty damn secure.
I mean, when he decided to stay under Michael, do you think he was deciding that, hey, I'm going to overtake Michael as number one day?
I think that he has an unbelievable ego.
Yeah.
And, you know, he could have won an MVP when Jordan was retired. He was unbelievable that year in, 94? And he was a great basketball player. I mean, he's one of the greatest two-way players the sport has ever seen. He is one of the best wing defenders in the history of the sport. He played his ass off. But this idea that he needs to do this, it's like he wants to be the villain. You can never be the villain here, man. You have six rings on your finger. It's just an unlikable losing battle and totally unnecessary. Peoria Matt says, Scotty sounds like the type of guy who would root for his team to take a no, to get no hit. 57% of people on a Twitter poll agreeing with me, by the way, so far. Early returns. Phrase the question, at Danny Parkins on Twitter. If you're at the game and your team is getting a no hit in the seventh inning and your team is down 7-0, are you rooting for the no-hitter? 57% saying yes. Early return on the voting.
A bunch of virgins.
Wow. Okay. Never heard you with that insult before. Shane is going to help us for Memorial Day weekend. You're cooking something, you got a question, you want to try something new, something complicated, grilling meat, smoking meat, a side dish. The man knows his way around an open flame. 312-644-6767. Text him, call him. It's Shane's Meat for Memorial Day next on The Score.
Welcome to another edition of Friday Funk, the Shane's Meat Live Edition with Shane Reardon.
This is the ultimate steak sandwich. You want the Rolls Royce of beef.
Must eat beef.
It has to be fillet.
That roast beef is capital T tender, man.
Today, we're going to use lamb. I know you're all out there going, lamb. Lamb is a great, great flavor.
Yeah. Friday Funk.
That is so much flavor. Sweetness of the ham, that briny, pickly spice on the corned beef, and then just a nice smoky flavor from the pit beef.
So much steak, lung-filling. Dinus is back with me.
Friday Funk, the Shane's Meat Live Edition.
Oh, charred and moist. Like Satan perps.
With Dan Bernstein and Leila Rahimi on 670 The Score.
Well, that's not right. It's with Parkinson Spiegel. We're reclaiming it.
That was on me.
We are reclaiming Shane's Meat. Isn't that right, Shane?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, for some reason, since Dan and Lauren started working together, they have no longer invited me on to Shane's Meat before holiday weekends. I don't want to blame Lawrence. But I also don't want to blame Dan.
So it's Layla's fault?
Yeah, probably. Most things are.
Okay. Well, 312-644-6767. People will be grilling. They will be smoking. They will be doing things that I do not know how to do. I mean, I'll be grilling as soon as I get off the air here, actually. But Shane is the expert. Shane, someone has a question.
Yeah.
Tomahawk ribeye. Please help.
All right, well, depending on the thickness, people who listen to the show often, I'm not an advocate for buying tomahawk ribeyes because you're paying for the bone in which you're not using unless you're cutting that bone off before the roast and using it to get the bone marrow. But if you're insistent on the presentation of using a tomahawk ribeye, then roast it reverse sear. So you want to go like 225, 250 on your grill or your oven until that reaches about 10 degrees under your desired finishing temperature. So if you want it medium rare, I'm going to reverse sear a tomahawk ribeye until it's maybe 115, 120. And then I'll finish that on a cast iron or over a flat top or over an open flame until that's 125, 126 to get your perfect medium rare. But I don't advise toward getting a tomahawk ribeye because you're paying more than you have to.
Okay.
Just get a regular bone-in ribeye. You're paying more for the extra bone. Stupid.
Shane, have or would you use bourbon barrel staves for wood in your smoker?
Bourbon barrel staves?
That's what the texter says.
I mean, as an honest person, I don't know what a bourbon barrel stave is. It depends on what tree that kind of wood came off of. I'd have to do some more research. I'm not going to just lie to you and tell you that I would or wouldn't. But I'm sure like the smokiness of a bourbon barrel would add a very cool flavor profile, complex flavor profile to a steak. I would not be against it. Not at all.
Well, see, okay, here's a text question, and I've always wanted to do this, but so he's asking about a bacon-wrapped pork chop on the grill. Please answer that for that texter, but also I would like to do like a bacon-wrapped anything. Like, so, I never know like how to do the like cook the bacon and whether it's, you know, the pepper or whatever.
Well,
like,
here's my thing for bacon-wrapped protein of any kind. The bacon's going to cook a hell of a lot quicker than the protein itself. So if you get the protein to the temperature that it needs to be, your bacon will more than likely be overcooked. So if you want to cook, let's say a pork chop in this situation, I like to end my pork chop at about 130, 135, so it finishes at about 145. If you want to reverse sear your pork chop, bone in preferably, to like 90, 95 degrees, take it off, and then wrap it with bacon and finish it to 130, 135 with the bacon on it, then awesome. But also understand, like, it looks really good, especially, like, say you're at a wedding. Bacon-wrapped dates look really good. Yeah. But when you're doing a hefty protein like that, the bacon is just going to fall off as you cook it. So let's elevate that. Let's do a more flavor-prolific pork chop and then take that bacon and look at how to make a bacon jam. So do like a bacon and onion jam, and then you have something to garnish your pork chop with, as opposed to wrapping it with bacon and then just having that bacon fall off as you cut the pork chop. So you can marry those two flavors, which are technically in the same family, and elevate both at the same time while not having to separate the two and deal with a lesser product.
What's your favorite, you know, bacon-wrapped blank? Is it the date?
Like a jalapeno popper. Because you don't, the jalapeno doesn't have to be cooked to a certain temperature. With a pork chop or with, let's say, like people wrap venison backstrap, especially in this area, with bacon a lot. You have to get that to a certain temperature. If that's wrapped with bacon, the bacon's going to be overcooked. So if you were doing a jalapeno popper, sure, for sure. Direct heat and then finish it to where your cream cheese and cheese are melted completely. That's fine. But for a pork chop, just make yourself, look up a little recipe or slide in my DMs. I'll give you a bacon jam and onion recipe. That's much better than wrapping your pork chop.
Whoa, you're willing to DM recipes.
Of course I am. Yeah, of course I am. More than happy to help.
Okay. I'm going to have to get one from you for myself.
Razorback 797 on Twitch. Is Shane the biggest tool in Chicago media? No, I don't think so.
No, Agra's top five tool list, I don't think we were on it.
Yeah, I don't think I was.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, though, dumbass.
No, but we can keep trying, though.
Yeah.
We're going to try to get better for next year. We want the whole show to be on every top five list.
Yeah.
What's the best shellfish to grill?
Clams. 100%. Crack your clams open, and then I want you to do a little bit of like a garlic butter, or we're in ramp season, so we're going to do like a ramp butter, compound butter, and then you'll crack those things open. You clam side up, shell side down, open flame. And then for those of you who don't like the taste of like raw clams or raw oysters or raw mussels, grill those protein side up over high heat. It's absolutely perfect.
Hmm. For those of us that just have, you know, like a standard gas grill.
Yeah.
What are the things that you would say we should do on that versus, you know, like the cast iron on the stove? Because I don't have a smoker or anything.
Anything. Like what do you want to do this weekend? You said you're grilling after the show. What are you going to grill?
We're just doing cheeseburgers and brats tonight, so that's easy.
Yeah, that's fine. But anything you can do on a charcoal grill or a smoker, you can technically do on a gas grill. It's just a battle of setting the temperature within the grill and then choosing how much time is going to be over indirect heat and how much time is going to be over direct heat. So you can even do ribs. Like a 3-2-1 method on a smoker is 3 hours uncovered on a rack of ribs, getting the smoke, 2 hours covered, getting the heat, 1 hour uncovered, like solidifying and caramelizing the sauce. You could do the same thing on a gas grill this weekend for Memorial Day. You just won't have the smoke. So don't look at your gas grill, your propane grill as a crutch. You could do the same things. You just won't have the smoke flavor the smoker can give you.
I've never made ribs. I would love to try that.
You could do it no problem.
You think so?
No problem. You could do it this weekend.
All right, I'm gonna text you for a step-by-step recipe.
No.
After this, because I'm absolutely going to forget whatever you just said. I'm not going to go listen on the Odyssey Rewind app. Shane, what do you recommend as a side to brisket, preferably something smoked?
Oh, my. Mac and cheese, I guess. If you're trying to smoke something, mac and cheese. So make your whether you want to do a mac and cheese without a roux and just do it standard, a baked mac and cheese, just finish it under smoke or start it under smoke and then finish it in the oven. But if it's not mac and cheese, my favorite side for brisket smoked is a coleslaw. And that sounds unconventional, but to do like a standard, whether you prefer a mayonnaise coleslaw or a vinegar-based coleslaw, you can chop up some cabbage and some red onion and some carrot and whatever and some celery in a coleslaw very thin and then finish that under smoke. You're not cooking it. You're just introducing the smoke flavor to the coleslaw itself. So if you want something unconventional that's like your friends are coming over, you're like, oh my God, no way. You've got coleslaw? Yeah, I've got coleslaw, but it's been introduced to smoke for 2 hours. Hmm. That is something to impress your friends and guests.
What are you going to be doing this weekend?
Probably not a lot.
You're not going to be cooking or really?
And my dog Willie, her birthday party is Saturday. We're doing it at a bar called Cody's in West Lakeview, and they have like 5-6 grills in the back where you can bring your own meat and like grill your own meat at the bar. It's a very, very cool concept. So I'm just bringing a bunch of hot dogs and sausages, and we'll see how the weather is. Maybe I'll throw something on the smoker, but as of right now, I do not have like barbecue plans.
What is the toughest thing to smoke?
I mean, brisket. Brisket is so unforgiving, in my opinion. It's very difficult. It's time consuming. If you don't have knowledge, complete knowledge, and a comfortability with your smoker, brisket can be very tough. But it's so worth it. Like, you have to do 4 or 5 of them. Tanny will tell you. We talk about it. He's done a few, and he hasn't really been 100% happy with all of them. And Tanny is very knowledgeable and skilled with his smoker. And even he hasn't gotten there yet. So
I had his during the NFC Championship game. I thought it was great.
Right. It wasn't horrible at all, but he wasn't happy with it. Brisket is the toughest, in my opinion.
So what's the easiest?
Chicken for sure. You do yourself a nice little full chicken. Like, if you want to impress your friends this weekend, just like you've got a smoker, but you don't, like, you're intimidated by the 12-13 hour cook of a pork shoulder or a brisket or like tri-tip or something like that, like or chuck roast. Grab yourself a few chickens, which are like, if you go to a local grocery store, you're going to pay $5 for a 6-7 pound chicken. Cut the spine out, spatchcock it, break the breastplate, and just put those over the smoker for an hour and a half, 2 hours. You're going to have this beautiful, crisp, crunchy skin, but then this juicy, juicy chicken. So if you really want to get into smoking this weekend, grab yourself a couple chickens. And don't forget, when you're seasoning those chickens, put the seasoning and the butter and the lemon in between the skin and the meat and not just above it.
We're doing an edition of Shane's Meat ahead of Memorial Day weekend. Paul on the north side is going to try the aforementioned very difficult brisket for the first time. Paul, what are your questions for Shane?
Hey, Shane. I'm like YouTubing the crap out of this thing, and I'm at the point where, like, all right, when I wrap this thing, or do I wrap this thing, and I just got some butcher paper, or do I stick with foil when I wrap?
All right, so the Texas crutch, Paul, is either the tin foil or the butcher's paper. So you want to keep do you have a meat probe to keep inside the brisket the entire time?
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I do.
All right, so around 155, 156 is when you want to start keeping an eye on it. When you see that temperature, you want to look at the bark of the brisket. And if the bark is where you intend the bark to finish, then you can wrap and accelerate through your stall. So at about 156, right, 157, up to 165, you're probably going to stall within those two temperatures for a few hours. Right. So people usually wrap it to accelerate through that stall a little bit quicker, but don't wrap until the bark, the exterior of the brisket, is where you want it to be. So when you're looking at those YouTube videos and you see like the finished bark, don't wrap until that bark on your brisket is where the finish usually is, because you're not going to get any more bark after your wrap. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the Texas crutch and wrapping. Just don't do it until you get the desired bark that you want.
Okay. And then, so I'm having people come over at 3 o'clock on Sunday. So let's say we're eating at 5.
How big is the brisket?
Saturday, 15 pounds.
15 pounds. Oh, yikes. All right. So 3 p.m. Central on Sunday.
Yeah.
Honest to God, dude, I would start that at like 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. Because you want to rest it for a few hours wrapped in towels in a cooler after it hits 203. So I would start at 8 a.m., 9 a.m. on Saturday because you can rest it longer than you can cook it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but then do I put in the refrigerator overnight or just leave in the oven at wit? Like
No. Do you have like a standard Coleman or a Yeti cooler?
Yeah.
Yeah, so just wrap it in that tin foil in like four or five bath towels and then throw it in the cooler. Mm-hmm. No ice, nothing like that. It's going to bring it back down to room temperature.
Wow. All right, I just want the wife. I want the wife look at that one because then she's going to talk about food safety. I'm like, it's
No. Paul, you send your wife to me. What I've said multiple times on Bernstein and Rahimi, don't be afraid to get sick every once in a while. You send your wife to me if you have to.
My last name is Manella. Everybody calls me Sal. So
sounds good. Good luck, Paul.
Good cook a joke. Wow, Shane, that sounds so intimidating.
It is. Brisket's tough, dude. That's why I said it. Brisket is not easy, especially if you're cooking it for a large group of people. It's not easy.
What about chicken wings?
What about them?
Are those difficult to make?
No.
I've never grilled chicken wings.
Not really. So the best tip I can give you for chicken wings is the night before, salt and baking powder uncovered in the fridge, equal amounts salt, equal amounts baking powder, a quarter teaspoon of each per pound of chicken wings. That's going to really extract the moisture from the skin and give you a very crispy chicken skin in the smoking process, which is hard to accomplish. Like, you can't just smoke a chicken thigh without that combination and have the skin be crispy. There's a ton of fat, a ton of moisture within that skin. So if you do a quarter teaspoon of salt and a quarter teaspoon of baking powder per pound of chicken wings sprinkled over that, uncovered in the fridge overnight, that's your attack.
All right, this was a pretty successful edition of Shane's Meat.
I feel like it.
Send some meat to the booth.
All right, Stoney. Stoney can't have dairy. I don't know if you guys know that.
Yeah, no, he talks about it. Him and Jason, I don't know how they go out to meals. Very, very different stomachs, it seems like, on the road. But we can do some questions for one last thing to send you into Memorial Day weekend. Awesome sports viewing weekend. Want to go over a few of the things we'll be watching this weekend as well. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the score.
Just one more thing, please.
I thought you had a clock to punch.
I do. I'm leaving right now.
It's time for One Last Thing.
Let's let someone else ask a couple questions.
I just want to ask you.
And then we'll come back to you.
One question.
How about that? Let's let everybody else, we'll come back to you.
Ask any question.
I just want to ask you.
For anyone on the show.
One question.
Then I can figure out who I want to answer to. I don't need your help with that.
I just want to ask you. One question.
Does anyone else have another question first?
I got a question.
All right.
I just want to ask you.
Thank you.
One question.
One Last Thing with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
You text them, you twitch them. Shane gathers them and asks them. We all answer. We like to end the show with your questions. I'm going to throw one more at you, Shane, though.
Okay.
What's the best, what's a good beginner smoker? An easy one for people to use.
I mean, if you want easy, then do a pellet smoker. Like, I don't like pellet smokers because I've never used them, but a pellet smoker is easy. A pellet smoker, like a Traeger or Weber's pellet smoker or something that you can set the temperature to like an oven and walk away from it for 14, 15 hours and just make sure you put enough pellets in it to fuel that 14, 15 hours and you get a good smoke product at the end. That's a good way to start if you want to spend the money on it. From there,
you feel like that's cheating.
I mean, it's cheating if you know how to smoke meat and if you want like the activity of smoking meat. Like, I prefer the romanticism of setting up my Weber Smoky Mountain to maintain that temperature and get real wood and charcoal smoke. But if you're just starting and you want the confidence of producing very high quality smoked meat, then yeah, get a pellet smoker.
And then I'm going to ask myself one because I saved it from 440 right when we logged on because it was a great question. One last thing. What's your protocol when you're sitting at a blackjack table and a player is absolutely ignoring the generally accepted rules? Splitting fives, doubling on 12s against the face card, hitting 15 against the five, taking bus cards, etc. Do you ask WTF are you doing? Do you choose violence, dump a drink on them, move? I would say something. My buddies make fun of me for how much it bothers me when we play blackjack. They're like, it doesn't. Yes, it changes what card you are going to get, but the odds of your card being a good card or a bad card don't change. Yeah, but there's a book. There is a right way to play. And I want everybody at the table to play correctly. And you can ask the dealer, what am I supposed to do here? What's the book say? So it does really bother me. If someone does it too much and I'm losing, I will just change tables.
So are you admitting in Market 3 Chicago Talk Radio that you count cards?
No, not at all.
Keep an eye on that, casinos.
I wish I could count cards. It's frowned upon. It's not illegal. I'm just saying you're messing up the cards that are coming. So I like to actually play it by the book. I want to be playing a game where I've got like a 48.5% chance to win, not a 47% chance to win.
So you've been to Vegas with me multiple times now. I'm going on a bachelor party back to Circa the second weekend in June. They all play table games.
Nice.
Should I just go and try to learn and play with them, or should I just drink behind them?
Do some of both. I mean, have your gambling money allocated. You know, and don't lose more than you are willing to, but
about
be
five
there,
bucks.
Whatever it is, whatever your number is. And, I mean, dude, craps is a ton of fun. Like, you and all of your buddies on the same craps table, making, like, the same basic bets, winning when someone hits the point, high-fiving each other. Even if you have no idea what you're doing, just follow someone at the table who does, ask the stick man or the, you know, your dealer across
the stick man.
Yeah. And don't really ask the stick man. Ask the guy who's across from you at the table. That guy will help you out.
Okay.
And craps is a ton of fun. So yeah, I would play.
Okay.
I would play. But I'm also a degenerate gambler, so I don't know what I would do in Vegas if I didn't gamble. See a show. We had fun at Carrot Top.
Bunch of strippers.
There's that.
I don't know if this group is gonna want to do the strip club thing. 90% of them are in relationships. Which I know in Vegas, you're in a relationship, you would never go see a stripper. Ever.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Never.
No one would ever do that. Can't do that. Yeah, everyone who's at those places is single.
Half of us are staying at Circa. Half of us are staying at the D.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we got a couple suites at the D and a couple suites at Circa.
Wow, you guys are just dominating Fremont Street and
we're
giving Derek Stevens your money
Street.
On both spots?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how much I love Derek Stevens. I want to support him at both places.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Which one are you staying at?
Circa.
Of course, right. You're an endorser for Circa.
Yeah, of course. That's my place. Okay. Why would I ever stay anywhere else?
Yeah, no, that's amazing, though. I've never stayed at the D. You'll have to report back.
We're going to have to talk about this when Tanny and Spees get back, but like we have a cabana reserved for an entire day. I'm like dreading going to a cabana and not having everything paid for at Circa. Like we got a good deal. But it's still going to be weird, like, ordering a pitcher of frozen margaritas from Yasmin and not having her bring it over completely free.
And you say, I'm the one who's not relatable.
I know. I'm sorry.
You're like, oh, my God. I'm going to have to pay before. My tab. I'm going to have to pay my tab.
I have said that before.
Yeah. Good luck. It's going to be tough. You got some people with deep pockets in the crew?
Not like incredibly, like we're all pretty much on the same level, which is why I'm kind of looking forward to it. That like no one is going to try to outspend someone else. Like we're all on the same page.
Well, it depends how generous the person with the deep pockets is, though. Sometimes you just, hey, let's do something kind of baller and just pick it up for everybody.
Sure.
You know, like depending on what it is.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right.
I'm not the best man, so I don't have the inclination to like do it for everyone else.
Of course. Yeah. No, that's good. Credit card roulette, though, is a dangerous game to play in Vegas.
Hard pass.
Yeah. Take your 1/8 of the tab as opposed to having to do the entire thing. I've lost credit card roulette in Vegas after a sushi dinner. It was not fun. That was not a great time. Thankfully, it was just a dinner for six, but man, that was unfortunate. Thank you to Tyler Butebraugh for helping out today for Tanny. That was a lot of fun. Good stuff, Shane Reardon, Shane's Meat. People very much like the segment. We will bring that back. People say they learned a ton. That was so overwhelming to me. I feel like I needed like AI to like transcribe it or something.
We jammed a lot in there at once, which I'm kind of happy about. Like I prefer to do the text questions and the Twitch questions than phone, which is what we do with Dan and Lawrence. But that was a lot of info at once. So feel free, slide into my DMs. I'm more than happy to answer questions.
That's very nice of you. That's
especially
nice.
If you're a hot woman.
There you go. Good. Your DMs are always open.
Or a
good
guy with a hot daughter.
All right. There we go, Shane. Have a good Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Game 6 is going to feel like Game 7 tomorrow in the NBA. No team's ever come back from down 3-0. Game 7 would be at home in Boston. They'd be like an 11-point favorite in Game 7. So it's going to be an absolutely massive basketball game tomorrow night. Jameson Taillon going for the Cubs tomorrow. Ugh, not a great spot. Thanks, everyone. This is Parkinson Spiegel. This is The Score.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly. In any event, it's done. It's over now. Down goes Murdoch. I'm just saying. Take care.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.